Welcome back. You're listening to the News at One. This weekend will mark 23 years since the Good Friday Agreement, which many people hoped would mark an end to decades of violence and loss on the island. In the past week, street violence in counties Antrim and Derry has led to the use of water cannon and impact rounds by the police in response to petrol bombs, bricks and bottles thrown at them, a bus set on fire and clashes across peace lines. Many of the rioters have been children. 74 police officers have been injured. Britain's Northern Secretary, Brandon Lewis, has chaired a virtual meeting today with parties in the Stormont Executive and the PSNI Chief Constable to discuss the ongoing violence. Let's talk now with Matthew O'Toole. He's an SDLP Assembly Member for South Belfast. Matthew O'Toole, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Gavin.
What or who do you believe will stop the violence now?
Well, I hope what will stop the violence is a coming together of political and community leadership, particularly in the communities where this violence has been happening, with a complete clarity that violence is not the way to achieve anything, that violence is only going to damage those working class communities from both broad backgrounds who are suffering the effects of it. People who are being, you know, traumatized in interface areas and people who are basically having their children being coerced into throwing petrol bombs by armed gangs. That has to end, and it has to stop. So I hope it does stop. I hope it does reduce in the days and weeks ahead, and I hope the political unanimity that we saw yesterday continues.
Do you know of any protests that are planned for today?
Well, there have been various reports floating around social media about gatherings in different places. That's one of the challenges, actually, is the fact that social media allows information to float around. You know, someone in their granny's bedroom can create a Twitter or Facebook profile and, you know, say there's going to be a gathering at X place at Y time to protest whatever the issue is. And what that tends to, you know, even if you get a few people there throwing masonry, causing discontent, that attracts other people, and so this thing can spiral on the basis of on the basis of information basically spread in social media. So we need to hope, you know, clamp down on that and send a message out that people should not be, you know, just going along even for a gawp when they see a rumor on social media. And I hope some of the seriousness of the scenes of the last few days have driven home to people that this really can't spiral and it can't go on any longer. It's not the way to improve anyone's community. It's not the way to resolve any political issue.
Listening to people who are publicly sharing their views from those streets that have been involved in the violence, it's striking how familiar the views of us against them are. Perceptions of demons get everything and of impressions that the police are taking different approaches to different sides. Is that right?
That is definitely a problem in some places. Unfortunately, you talked before in the intro, Gavin, about us being 23 years on from the Good Friday Agreement. One of the phrases that was used at the time was about the need not just to decommission weapons, but to decommission mindsets and to genuinely move towards reconciliation. Unfortunately, in lots of these places, that hasn't happened, and it hasn't happened for a variety of reasons. And of course, that's been reinforced by and has reinforced deprivation. It's also worth saying that we've also had, you know, a year of lockdown, and like everywhere else in the world, you know, young people have not been able to do the kinds of things that they would otherwise be doing in terms of going to school, engaging in social activities, engaging in sports, all the rest of it. So that hasn't helped either. But it is true that there's still real polarization and real fear in those communities. It's also true, unfortunately, that our political structure still creates an incentive for some political parties to maximize and prey on those feelings at times, and some of the rhetoric over the last few months has not been helpful in that regard. It has helped communicate a sense to people that they've lost something, or someone's trying to take something away from them because of, you know, customs paperwork, and that hasn't been responsible or helpful. But unfortunately, as I said, there's been a political incentive for parties to help at times foment that sense of them and us. It needs to end. It obviously won't end overnight. It'll be part of a long, painstaking effort of improving the society, and I hope next year at the elections that people will start to vote against some of this.
You worked in Downing Street previously. Do you believe that the British Prime Minister is committed to doing what he can to end this?
I did work in Downing Street in a previous life. I mean, I don't think Boris Johnson has in any way grasped the seriousness of not just the seriousness of the current situation in Northern Ireland. I don't think he ever wanted to grasp the seriousness of the responsibility that he inherited as a co-guarantor of the Good Friday Agreement, the project that he was the cheerleader for, mascot for in 2016, was about a kind of sovereigntist fantasy. It was about dreams that were never going to be fulfilled for people. And that whole project was always going to be destabilizing in a part of these islands, which is dual. It has the Good Friday Agreement is based on pluralism. It's based on sharing the space and smudging sovereignty up to a point. That was never going to be compatible with Boris Johnson's sovereigntist project. I think, I don't know whether it's slowly dawning on him that his rhetoric has consequences, but it should finally now dawn on him. I'm not sure his record has in any way proves that he takes seriously the gravity of British-Irish history and his responsibilities in Northern Ireland, but I would hope that he at some stage starts to reckon with that, Gavin, but I don't see it happening anytime soon, sadly.
Matthew O'Toole, SDLP Assembly Member in South Belfast, thank you. Let's stay in Belfast and speak to our Northern editor, Vincent Kearney. More meetings today, more calls for calm from a range of political sides. Is it making any difference, Vincent?
Not entirely yet. Certainly the violence that was witnessed in Belfast last night was not on the same scale as Wednesday evening, which the police said had been the worst violence in Belfast for quite a few years. But we did still see water cannon deployed on the streets of Belfast last night. That's the first time they've been used in Northern Ireland in a riot situation in 6 years. So clearly still quite a bit of violence last night, although the numbers involved were lower than on Wednesday evening, and the intensity of the violence was also lower. Although, having said that, 19 police officers were still injured. So police are hopeful that the numbers will be reduced, but I think they had hoped that perhaps that would have happened last night. As you say, a number of ongoing efforts today, Northern Secretary Brandon Lewis meeting the Stormont political parties and the Chief Constable this morning virtually for a discussion. We know there's engagement with the Irish and British governments and others trying to use influence to reduce this violence. Now, perhaps one of the most significant statements today has just come a short time ago from a group calling itself the Lawless Communities Council. Now, it represents lawless paramilitary organisations, the UVF, the UDA, and a group calling itself the Red Hand Commando. It's an organisation that the DUP was heavily criticised for meeting back in February. We also know that the PSNI Chief Constable, Simon Byrne, had discussions with some of his members yesterday. A statement had been expected last night. It didn't come. So it arrived a short time ago, and in the statement, the Lawless Communities Council insists that none of its associated groups were involved directly or indirectly in the violence witnessed in recent days. Now, it's very critical of the Irish government, which it says played a key role in constructing the Northern Ireland Protocol. It opposes the creation of an Irish sea border as a result of that protocol and says the protocol must go. But it also stresses that any actions taken by Lawless must be peaceful, and it appeals to Lawless taking part in any of a number of planned protests over this weekend to ensure that they are peaceful, and says it will use its influence to try to bring the violence to an end. Now, given the fact that this collective umbrella group represents three lawless paramilitary organisations, the police and politicians will hope that this has a chance of actually influencing people on the ground, young people who might listen to paramilitary organisations rather than listen to politicians.
Vincent, I was listening to some of the views being expressed this morning on Radio Ulster. Again, those accusations that I was putting to Matthew O'Toole of perceptions of different policing on different sides. The water cannon that was used last night, people pointing out that it was used on the Springfield Road and not the Shankill Road, and then other callers pointing out that the use of impact weapons or rubber bullets being used on the Shankill Road but not on the other side.
Yeah, it's, different policing situations will call for different tactics. Now, my understanding is certainly that some police commanders believe that water cannons should have been deployed earlier, perhaps a number of days ago, but for operational reasons, the police decided not to do so. Now, given the fact that the violence had been much worse on Wednesday night, you'd have thought that perhaps a water cannon would have been deployed then. But instead, they were deployed last night. They only appear to have been deployed on the Springfield Road, as you say, on the Nationalist side. On the Lawless side, there were warnings that the plastic batten rounds would be fired if the violence intensified. The police might say that it could have been more difficult to get water cannon in and out of the Shankill Road. Nationalists would say, well, actually, the Springfield Road is just as difficult to access. So I think police commanders will be asked to explain why different tactics were employed, because certainly my understanding is that some police commanders on the ground believe that the water cannon should have been deployed at an earlier stage in other areas during Lourdes violence over the weekend.
I know you were saying last night on the 9 o'clock news that there was some speculation that because it was raining quite heavily last night that it might deter people from coming on the streets. Will a royal death make any difference?
That remains to be seen. Certainly, the unionist political parties and political leadership are expressing condolences. The Lourdes communities, I think that certainly will be under pressure in terms of showing respect. Pressure will be brought to bear by their political leaders, perhaps by the Lourdes Communities Councils as well. They might use this as not an excuse, but an opportunity, if they like, to put pressure on young people to say, look, perhaps as a mark of respect, as well as everything else, pull back from the violence. Whether or not that actually lands with people on the ground, we're not sure, because many of these people involved are very young kids, you know, 12, 13, 14, yes. 15. They aren't listening to politicians, so it remains to be seen if they'll listen to the Lourdes Communities Council and others.
Fitz and Kearney in Belfast, thank you.